Welcome to All Learning Reimagined, the podcast that defines convention and redefines the purpose and practice of education. Here we venture beyond institutional boundaries. Whether you're a parent, educator, or curious mind devoted to lifelong growth, this is your space to challenge assumptions and co-create a more humane and intuitive approach to education. Let's reimagine what education can be.
Welcome, everybody, to Apple Pie Playground. I'm Valerie, your host. It's so wonderful to be here with you this afternoon. This is where we enjoy a little expressive play and a little conversation and self-reflection on different topics close to our hearts. And I want to shout out to BBS Radio for helping us do that every Sunday. Wonderful folks, and we are so grateful. Thank you so much, BBS. And, you know, I have been replaying scenes from the Matrix movies in my head for a couple of weeks now. And so today I thought maybe we would apply a few good lines from the trilogy of those movies to what we see going on in the world. You want to do that? We're going to reserve some time to play together with these ideas too, so no worries about that. But let's get our notebooks handy for sure, and let's delve into an interesting topic. And that is the movie Matrix Resurrection. Okay, and I don't know if you've seen it or not, but it is a good movie. It's important to sort of see all of the movies in order to really understand what's going on. It's fairly complex, but as a matter of fact, it is much more complex than we can even really wrap our heads around if we're not really sure about some of the information that we're getting and we don't realize it. We don't really realize how much information we are really truly getting in that movie. But I think the unfolding of our experience in humanity will provide us. We will catch up to the Matrix movies to a point where we all understand what's going on. But let's think about the last Matrix movie, Matrix Resurrection. And this is where Neo is on the phone at the very end of the movie. And he's talking to that which is the Matrix, right? Do you remember? And Neo says, I didn't come here to tell you how this is going to end. I came here to tell you how it's going to begin. Do you remember that line? He's on the phone. And he says, I'm going to hang up this phone. And I'm going to show people what you don't want them to see, right? And he says, I'm going to show them a world without you, a world without rules and control, without borders and boundaries, a world where anything is possible. And he says, where we go from there is a choice I'll leave to you. So it's maybe a good place to start in our conversation today, remembering, friends, that all things begin really with intention. And that's reflected very clearly in what we just read about that particular scene. And so what do I mean by intention then, if we'll remember? So when Neo has to choose between the red pill or the blue pill, do you remember that? Morpheus offers him the choice between those two things. You can choose the red pill or you can choose the blue pill, right? So what is the intention behind each of those pills? We can contrast that with Neo's final words in the last movie that we just read, right? He says, I'm going to show people a world where anything is possible. So early on, Neo chose between opposing ideas, either the red pill of remembering or the blue pill of continuing to forget, right? And those were his two choices, the polarity of his two choices. But by the end of the Matrix movies, Neo was saying, that's not enough. That's really not a choice. What I'm going to do is I am going to offer people a different paradigm for choosing where anything is possible, right? Does that make sense? And so I think about how far Neo evolved in his journey through the trilogy of the movies. And in the beginning, he accepted that there were only two choices that a man could make, right? Take the red pill or take the blue one. And by the end, he refused to subscribe to the idea of this idea of duality, right? Of the two competing choices. And he chose instead to redefine his preference altogether. Do we see that? You know, he changed the question. He changed the proposition of reality itself by the end of the last movie, right? He chose a world that transcended duality. Do we see that? Where anything is possible, right? No rules, no control, just imaginings and sovereignty and love. And this world where anything is possible and intention brings into all realms of possibility that which actually becomes reality, right? Intention in a quantum field, a unified field. So at the end of the trilogy, Neo says, choice. The problem is choice. Do you remember that? He was talking about humans being tricked into practices of making false choices, right? Choices that are created sort of by a control system that doesn't care who chooses what, right? In the Matrix, what we come to understand by the end of this last movie is that the Matrix didn't care what we chose, red pill or blue pill. And we'll talk about why in just a minute. The Matrix did not care. The idea that it was so powerful to force a polarized choice is all it had to do, right? Just so the choices are polarized enough to maintain chaos, opposition. Right? The key is maintaining a polarity of opposition so that we are at odds with each other rather than unified. That's all the Matrix has to do. Right? And we study a science that tells us that chaos is a good thing and it naturally orders the universe and blah, blah, blah. And so even our science here in the Matrix likes to create that polarity in everything that we think about and everything that we attach to what we call scientific reality. So it's everywhere, right? And maybe that's a little intellectual, but I kind of felt a little intellectual today. I kind of enjoy being in that space sometimes, and maybe we'll strap in together and you know, do a deep dive of some sort on these ideas and maybe contemplate how it is that our material universe functions as this unifying force, right, that we call quantum physics in the material world of our experience, right? All while our energetic or our spiritual realm really runs the real risk of imposing chaos on all of us, right? At any given time. And that may not even make sense right now, but hopefully it will as we kind of dive in, right? Doesn't it make you a little curious though? How is that possible? Well, would it surprise you to consider that chaos is a composition of the dark side of our energetic realm or our beingness or our spirituality, as you might call it, our cosmic beingness, right? Does that surprise you to consider that it's not actually an idea in the material realm of quantum physics? There is a little bit of chaos science there, but not a lot. Not a lot. We'll talk about that. You know, it was conceived of in the beginning of the beginning of the beginning of now, this idea of chaos, right? In the spirit of things. Chaos was born from the light of the energetics before there was physicality, okay? Or as we were developing this idea of polarity, and we were playing around with this and co-creating these ideas. And I guess you'll have to decide if there was wisdom actually in that choice or not. I mean, we can call it wisdom if we want to, but I mean, think about where we are. And of course, that's something you'll decide for yourselves. And it wasn't so much a problem with chaos per se, right? As a construct in our energetic realm, as much as it was the way to decide who and what would rule over this thing we call chaos energetically, right? Then like now, right? Then like now, absolute power is problematic most of the time, right? The duality of our physical world is kept in check by unifying forces of quantum. Right. So all of that is a checkmate. It's a balancing force, this force of quantum. The idea is to unify through quantum forces this material world. But our psyche is sort of blasted by choices that either clarify our beingness or confuse it. Right. It's all about the choices we make that can throw us into chaos. And so, you know, the whole story of cosmic chaos, or, you know, what it is, and our spiritual forte into balancing it, like in a physical form, is an interesting supposition when you think about it. And maybe it might be fun to dig into that, right? And I'll tell you why. The real reason I'm fascinated by the topic is because there are a lot of good, noble leaders trying very, very hard right now to reveal to humanity the false reality of our system of polarized choices. They are trying to press us into seeing past the false choices in our politics, our economics, right? Our social order, our social construction of reality, right? Everybody's hoping humans are going to wake up and prefer a different proposition altogether. That's the whole point. And I don't know that we're getting it, right? If we are still red pilling and blue pilling and fighting each other on the opposite sides, and there's so much opposition in absolutely everything we do, we're not getting it. We're not getting it. So the question might be, are we paying attention, friends, to the good work going on to reveal this polarized realm, this polarized humanity that we've constructed, right? Using chaos. Or are we right in there, picking a side to a problem created by a matrix that doesn't even care what the solution is, because the goal is human chaos and division, right? And are we playing right into that? Can we not see that both sides are prescribed for us, no matter which one we choose, right? prescribed for us to show us the calamity of oppositional propositions, right? They focus on separating us by issues and ideas. It's all manufactured for the purpose of dividing us, right? And there are a lot of truthers out there, and they have decided how bad President Trump is, right? Well, what if President Trump is the marker of our evolution? What if he is a catalyst? He's more than a man or a position, but he is a catalyst to reveal to us the change in our awakening, to force us into an idea that there's something past all of the opposition, the polarity of opposing sides, the polarity of two choices as our whole reality. How absurd would it be if you went into a shoe store and you could only choose two pairs of shoes, one or the other? How absurd in a store of beautiful shoes. And you only have two choices. Well, we live our human lives that way. We live our human experiences. Forget about shoes. Go to an ice cream shop. You know, who wants two choices? I mean, come on. That would be ridiculous. But we live our human lives that way. We live our human lives that way. I think maybe we go to the ice cream shop so that we can pretend like we actually can enjoy this humanity with a little bit of real choice, a different proposition that says we can make a third choice or a fourth choice, or give me, you know, put some cherries on top or something. And I think we all long for that. We are living in a duality, and we are craving an ice cream shop experience instead. And, you know, we can have it that way, but we have to decide, right? We have to decide. We have to put down all of our signs and our fighting and go have ice cream together. That's what we have to do, right? So do you think humanity is going to be shifted by, you know, by the hard work of just one man trying his best to offer obvious examples of this polarized reality? I mean, do you think we're just going to leave it all up to one man and then things are going to change, right? Or a small group of extraordinary people doing, you know, all they can to reveal to you this duality that you live in, right? And try to get us in the door of the ice cream shop where there are many more choices. I mean, is that the goal here? We just sit back and complain from the couch and talk about how horrible people are at the top, right? Is that the goal? Let them do all the work, right? Is that what we're doing? We complain all the way to work every morning, and we complain over lunch, and we complain when we get home how horrible things are. And, you know, it's so terrible. And we sit back and watch it go by. Is that really our intention here? Because that's not going to work, right? Do we understand that's not going to work as long as we're hanging out on the couch? Right? We won't produce the change we need. No, we won't. We will not do it. The idea is activation here, friends, right? It's our good work to do. It's our work, all of us. And so I guess the question is, you know, will we get anywhere without investing ourselves in the solutions, right? In a new reality, in new choices, in an opportunity that's not a polarity of experience. I mean, the final Matrix movie showed us that, right? Nobody gets away from the Matrix by playing the duality game. Nobody does, right? False choices are no choices, right? And we have to change the game. That's the whole thing. We have to change the game. We have to have our own conversation with the Matrix, just like Neo did. All of us do. We've got to have that conversation. We have to put a line in the sand. You know, it's our conversation to have. And then we get up off the couch and we get busy, right? So in the final battle, if you remember in the movie, the final battle with Mr. Smith, right? In the last Matrix movie, and he's fighting with Neo, and Mr. Smith gets really frustrated. And I mean, really, really frustrated. And he asks Neo, why do you continue to fight? Why do you persist? Right? And Neo just wouldn't give up. I mean, he's ready to die. He's ready to go. He's ready, but he won't give up. It doesn't matter. And Mr. Smith cannot understand this. Now, Mr. Smith is the personification of the Matrix as a physicality, right? He's not the mastermind. He's just, he's a personification of the Matrix as a working piece of the Matrix, just like we are as humans, right? On our side. And so Neo says, because I choose to, right? Because I choose to. I choose to fight. Whatever that means, right? Whatever that means, it doesn't matter what that means. The choice to fight, right? By the end of the last movie, Neo had become a sovereign force, able to change the proposition or the question being asked about the Matrix, right? Do we see that? Not about whether he would wake to the truth of a Matrix controlling humanity, right? But whether he would be controlled, right? His proposition is what we face right now. Will we continue to choose being controlled through false choices? Or will we make real choices that liberate us? Right? Will we choose to return to our sovereign selves again? That's the whole deal here. That's the whole deal. That's everything that's going on right now. Love Trump, hate Trump. The whole idea is a mirror for you to see yourselves and to hate what you see or to love what you see and then move forward, making the changes, right? That liberate us from a matrix of false choices and a polarity that is an opposition that won't let us unify our spirits together, right? So for Neo, sovereignty became his peace. Sovereignty became his peace. And as we're searching for peace, what do we call that and where do we find it? But it framed his core, his sovereignty, to say, I choose to fight, right? It was his center, and it guided his choices. And those choices were a completely different proposition than the red pill, blue pill, than the duality or the polarity of a false set of opposing choices that keep us matrixed into a false reality, right? Does that make sense? And so the Matrix asks him, right, in one of the scenes, what do you want? And he said, peace. He wanted peace from the chaos. From the chaos, from that which was the destruction of a soulful, spirit-filled humanity, right? He wanted peace. He wanted peace from those things destroying a soulful humanity. And is it the freedom from forced choices that we don't prefer? Is that our peace, right? So we can rest in our sovereignty as spirits at peace in our beingness. And, you know, the Matrix cannot abide a world in peace because chaos is the father of control. create chaos, and it will surely control our humanity. Chaos, it is the ultimate control, right? And being in peace is being outside that control, right? Peace is a contemplation. It's a flow, right? It's harmony in the unified field of what we are, right? And so maybe we can create a greater contemplation in the weeks ahead of us, right? A contemplation on peace and this idea that we can create a different proposition by moving out of the chaos and preferring peace, and see what that'll do as we journey forward, right? Consider it a challenge, okay? Consider it a challenge for me too. I'm right there with you. I'm challenged too, just like you are. Let's consider it our challenge then. And so whenever it is that, you know, we pick up our phone and we sit down with their social media, or we turn on our TV, or we read a morning newspaper for those folks who might still do that, and we see headlines like "The War is Over" or "Peace is Here," right? Don't keep scrolling past that, friends. Take a minute. Don't scroll past that. Because if we do, if we are just scrolling past those words or those headings, we haven't understood what that really means, right? We don't realize the real fight waged for our freedom when we hear these things, right? And so I want to urge you, when we begin to see this language, this peace language, take a second with it. I don't know if we realize how much has actually been sacrificed, right, in the physical world that to guide us to the light. So let's take a minute. Let's sit with the ideas, right? Because that idea that there is peace is a completely new reality on this planet. Those words are a reality we have rarely experienced here. It is a freedom that most of us have no memory of. And if we don't realize the extraordinary measure of the sacrifices being made in the words that we just are scrolling by when we see those things, the war is over and there is peace and agreements have been made, and you know, we might want to do a little soul searching, friends. Take a breath and imagine the moment of actually having a new reality and a new beginning, right? Good people are trying to show us what the Matrix doesn't want us to see. Part by part, they are showing us a world guided by the choices we make. Right? Are we paying attention? It ain't pretty out there. Right? And we want to blame somebody else, like a president. Right? We want to blame a president for doing all of this to us. Oh, how could they do this to us? How could a government do this to us? How could these people do this to us? And we don't take a second, and we're not reflecting and realizing we're doing it to ourselves, friends. We are doing it to ourselves. We're doing it, right? And so, you know, how do we think of the idea of a new beginning? That's a beautiful contemplation, isn't it? A new earth experience, right? When we live in an eternal now, and the physical nature of an eternal now, where we can enjoy it a little differently in our physicality, this beautiful thing, a quantum moment of the now, right? And can we move into a present awareness that holds all possibilities until our intention can reach in and pull out one? And it does, right? Our present awareness holds all possibilities, friends, right? And can we become so very present in our observance of self and visualizing our desires, right? All as already existing as a reality, that we learn to call what already is by our choosing, right? Into the now. Out of all of the possibilities before us, we can call into the now, right? Those things we prefer by our choosing. And we can do it in a way that is not oppositional or dualistic or polarized like we are now, because we are calling all of this forward. Every opposition that we pick up and read about anywhere that you look, we are calling this forward. How do we begin to call forward a different reality? And that's the question, right? Are we ever so present that we use that kind of personal power, right? And no, we're not constructing a future, right? We're calling into being what is as our preference. We're discovering the physical nature of our psychic or our quantum reality and aiding in its unfolding, right? Does that make sense? When we hold intentions so that they are real to us, even if they have not yet materialized, we are collapsing the possibilities of our reality, right? Into probabilities, likelihoods of what will occur, of our choosing, right? We are the master of each of our moments and this eternal now, right? Our choices make us the master, right? So what are we materializing by our focus and our attention? I mean, what is collapsing as a reality that we construct through our conscious awareness, our passions, our preferences, our fears, our worries, our habits, our subconscious controls, chaos, doubts, self-loathing, right? Inability to make choices, because that's a choice too, right? Not choosing is a choice. So every expression of a present moment is filled by these things, whatever they are that we stuff in there, right? By our intentions, whatever our focus is, right? Goes into the collapse of all other possibilities. Do we see that? Right? And Neo knew that the sum total of the physical experience of humanity lies in a choice, right? Each and every one. We are dynamic. We're energetic. We are energy reconstituting itself every second of a quantum now. We build everything around us, right? We can't comprehend it in our current state of forgetting, right? Our forgettingness. But our intentions are the energies that pull our quantum nows into each other as they unfold, right? As they unfold. And I sort of want to suggest a difficult truth in the most gentle way that I can, with the greatest love that I can offer, okay? It is a harsh truth. If we have been led over the course of lifetimes to believe in unhelpful ideas, right? Belief systems have left us too often unable to find clarity until we abandon those beliefs that no longer work for us. And then we begin to see truths so apparent to us, truths that belief systems try so hard to hide, right? And so the truth is, friends, there is no God in heaven who wishes us to feel suffering. There is no source who wants us to be sick, to lose loved ones, to feel trauma, to experience tragedy. The God we love is not teaching us lessons, right? Source is not making us better spirits. Source is not punishing us to help us become better humans. Please, please, please don't let me offend. There will be folks out there who will fight to the death those ideas, right? We will hold close ideas that soothe us, and it's not for me to change that. It's not for me to change that. But do we realize that any belief that we hold in that capacity is a false belief, friends? And is it possible to think about what it would take to let those beliefs go? And please reconsider the soundness of somebody like a minister of faith who tells you that tragedy is God's will. The next time you hear that, the next time you hear someone tell you it's God's will that this hardship or this suffering or this tragedy comes on you, please take a minute and realize, friends, that's bullshit. Our source allowed the divine dividing of our peace into chaos and allowed us as original creators to choose how to manage the energetic powers of chaos inside a quantum system of material worlds, inside the physicality that we choose to create. Ours is the experience of energetic disruption, controlling a predictable, self-stabilizing physical world. And now it is the undertaking of every spirit in the realm of Source to manage the unfolding of this world, of this duality. It is as much a matter of the mind, of the psychology of a human in the material world, as it is any metaphorical idea, right, of an angelic realm of celestial actors. It's in everything. Every part of our physicality, the mind, the heart, the body, right? Our duty to a sovereign spirit is to decide in every choice we make how we will contemplate the chaos of our lives. Will we prefer being out of control of our body and its habits, of being enslaved by a social control system, of giving our duty to energetic sovereignty away to others to manipulate, right? Do we prefer to act on our own volition or be acted upon, friends, in the construction of the shared reality we call humanity, right? The choice is always ours. And every time we say things like, well, there's nothing I can do about that situation, then we have chosen that situation. Do we see that? And every time we don't act in our best collective interests, we've chosen against our interests, right? Every time we avoid choosing what we really prefer, we've chosen to live by limitations. And when we say, well, I'm going to make the best decision I can out of two bad choices, right? I'm going to make the best of a best decision out of, you know, two bad options, then we have collapsed our realities, friends, to exclude countless other options that create an entirely different proposition for our reality, right? Do we see that? We can refuse to play the game. We can refuse to subscribe to the views that control us. We can refuse to be confined by the limitations and the choices of people who want the chaos, right? We can change the answers we give. We can change the questions being asked. We can change the proposition, the nature of the question. We can change our reality.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us on All Learning Reimagined, where passion illuminates the path forward. Remember this: the future of learning doesn't arrive from above, it begins within. You are the spark, the shift, the living answer to education's silent call for transformation. So stay curious, stay awake. Let inspiration be your compass, because how we learn today is not just personal, it is profoundly generative. It shapes the very architecture of tomorrow's world. We are not separate from the system, we are its evolution. Until next time, trust the wisdom of your own unfolding and let your life be the lessons that light the way for others.